You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's game one of the Crosstown Classic between the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox.
Payoff. Lifted high in the air. Back it goes to left. Miguel Vargas gets the Sox on the board. Yeah, that's how we get it started.
Runners off to their leads. There they go. The pitch hit deep in the air. Right field and down the line and gone for a home run. Three-run homer, Pete Crow Armstrong. Ground ball to second. The throw to second. One over the first. That's in time for a double play. It's a 4-6-3 double play to end the ball game. It's time for game two of this three-game weekend series between the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox.
This one is hit well into the air, into left field. Back goes Suzuki at the wall. It is out of here. Chase Mydrop gets it started with a bang.
Pete Pro Armstrong struck out in the first. He hits a drive into center field, a base hit. This is going to drive in two more runs, and the Cubs lead 4-1.
Hits it out to center field. Crow Armstrong backing up, looking up, and it is out of here. Tim Elko with his second big league home run.
Burke delivers. Swanson swings. It's a high fly ball, deep left center field. This may go. It's gone. Dansby Swanson leaves the yard. His 10th home run of the season.
Cubs win the ball game. Nicky Lopez made the catch. And this one is over. And the Cubs have made it 2 in a row over the White Sox.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Good morning. It's Sunday, and the low brass welcomes you in to Hit and Run. It is a beautiful, if slightly chilly, Sunday morning in May. The Cubs and the White Sox are playing. The snacks over in the WBBM studio. I believe it's Roger, who's the overnight guy who brings in some snacks. And sometimes he brings a thing of Oreos. The best Oreo flavor is over there. It is the golden Oreo double stuff. I stand by that. So just, I mean, it's a really good time to host Hit and Run. That's all I'm saying. We have the correct Oreos. I have one large Yeti with water, another large Yeti with iced coffee. It's Cubs and Sox. The Cubs are rolling right now. And the White Sox, you've got a couple nice things to talk about and look at. But, you know, you still get to play baseball in this town. It's a beautiful place to play baseball. I've been in Wrigleyville the last couple of days. I mean, last night over at the G-Man, the little rock club next to the Metro, my pal Joe Shanahan and I put on a thing, the Crosstown Classic, No Haters, We Love Baseball kind of musical party thing. And it was a vibe, man. It was such a good hang. So many Cub fans and Sox fans, both in and out. Kevin Hickey, the fine, fine chef from the wonderful The Duck Inn on the south side over by Sox Park, he made incredible burgers and hot dogs and Italian beef sandwiches of his own creations, had special batched cocktails. So it was like a Sox Cubs thing. Ryan Dempster hopped on stage. We sang Glory Days together. It was a hang.
That's awesome.
It was a delight. The whole evening was a delight. I am feeling the baseball majesty that this town can provide. I hope you are feeling it. You've heard me say it. I am grateful to get to talk baseball on a Sunday morning in this very unique two-team town. There's no place like it. The Angels and the Dodgers are very far away from each other. The Yankees and the Mets here in rivalry weekend, man, they've got a thing. They had a thriller yesterday, a 3-2 thriller that Edwin Diaz finished with a fastball at 99. Juan Soto got booed on Friday night so loudly. It was awesome, and he smiled. I love when players know it's coming and just be like, all right, that's respect. Because remember, from the opposition, it is nothing but respect. Just drink that in as the respect that it is. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the Royals and the Cardinals sort of have a thing. The A's and the Giants kind of have a thing. I mean, and they've met in the World Series, so I'll give them that. But goodness, there's nothing like Cubs Sox. Hop on a train. Go 9 miles in either direction. Drive up if you want. Hell, we can all hang out together. I was at the game on Friday in the stands, and I saw several mixed couples walking around. And I'm sitting there next to my meatball Cub fan wife, and she sees a mixed couple walking around, and she's just like, nope. And by mixed, I mean it was a Sox fan girl in a jersey and a Cub fan boy in a jersey. I think it's beautiful. I think there's something beautiful about it. Reminds me of that scene in The Naked Gun when the dog and the mailman are celebrating together and the Jew and the Arab are celebrating together. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you see it work. My wife thinks it's inhuman. Just doesn't. She's just like, no, it's wrong. It's like seeing animals from different species mating. How is that happening? That doesn't work. So props to you who are in mixed marriages or mixed relationships and making it work on a weekend like this. Because I'll tell you what, folks, not to do a spoiler for, you know, some of the rest of the show, but one team is a lot better than the other team. I don't know if you guys have noticed this as you're watching the games. See some, perhaps some fundamental things. You see some offensive production, a few different items. But one team seems to be quite a bit better.
Do you have any numbers to back that up?
I have numbers in regards to the entire league when it comes to this Cubs offense that I want to talk about.
They seem good.
There are some very good things about the White Sox, a couple. I mean, Edgar Caro has looked like their best young player for a while now, and I'm a fan. Chase Mydroth had himself a ball game yesterday with the leadoff home run. And you know what Mydroth is? Mydroth is what you were told Nick Madrigal was going to be. Like, Mydroth is a righty bat with really good bat-to-ball skills who will spray line drives all over the place. Doesn't have much power. Every once in a while, maybe he'll run into one like he did yesterday on a high fastball. He turned on that. But he's super competent at shortstop. I'm sure he could play second eventually. You know, he's what you were told Nick Madrigal might be. That's what Chase Mydroth is. So that's cool. That's great to have. But Miguel Vargas's development? what's been happening with Miguel Vargas over the last 21 games after some swing adjustments. We'll talk about it a little bit. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. It is a Sunday morning. Can't wait to chat with you. Steve Stone will join us at 9:25. The former Cubs broadcaster, current White Sox broadcaster, getting to do games at Wrigley as a member of the Sox yet again. Can't wait to talk to him about a variety of things regarding this rivalry and the game so far. Cespedes Barbecue is an incredibly entertaining follow on Twitter. They've had a really good podcast for a long time. It's now called the Baseball Barbiecast, and the co-hosts are Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman. Jordan is going to join us at 11 o'clock. A special anniversary treat at 11:40. The first host ever of Hit and Run 20 years ago. George Offman is going to join us. We'll talk to Shorty George. Haven't talked to George on the air in quite a while. Looking forward to that. So that'll be at around 11:40. And, you know, several surprises along the way, expecting and hoping for a guest or two we have not discussed. Also, team of the moment, it's pretty obvious. This one is clear. It's kind of a given on team of the moment. Do I need to say it out loud? I mean, it's not the Cardinals who've been on fire.
Okay. Thank God. Ugh.
It was last week, though, wasn't
it? They've been playing good. Yeah.
They're still playing good. They're only a game back of the Cubs.
God, isn't that so annoying?
It's crazy.
It's good. But they're playing good.
The nightmare scenario for Cub fans is to see the Cardinals playing good and chasing. The nightmare scenario for the White Sox may be seeing the Twins win 13 straight. So, yeah, that's the team of the moment. I just gave it away. It's okay. We'll do it later. We'll do some blue pits a little bit later on. You're going to hear from Craig Counsell on this show, Colin Ray, Chase Meidroth, who were both on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. You'll hear from Bob Costas later on as well. Your phone calls, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. 312-644-6767 is the number. We broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And a reminder that later on today, it will be Cubs and White Sox right here, 121st pitch, 12:45 pregame, Colin Ray versus Jonathan Cannon. Tune in to both Mully and Haw and Spiegel and Holmes tomorrow for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Cubs versus Reds at Wrigley Field on the 1st of June. It is all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. This Cubs offense is a thing, and they're doing it in lots of different ways. They keep winning in different kinds of ways because they've got a very diversified lineup. Here's Dansby Swanson on the offense being able to get it done and the team being able to win in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a sign of a good team to be able to win, you know, doing it in different ways. Like I said, it could be, you know, 1-0 depending on which way the wind's going. 1-0 because our pitchers are throwing the ball exceptionally well. And then there's been games, obviously, we've scored a lot of runs, and then there's been some in between. So wins are wins, and you know, we're going to keep counting them.
Dansby Swanson hit his 10th home run yesterday, which is crazy to think about considering how brutal it was at the start. And that made me think, oh, so Dansby's in double digits. Well, let's see who else. Kyle Tucker's in double digits. Of course, Pete Crow Armstrong's in double digits, and the world is continuing to try and find new ways to appreciate and contextualize PCA. I've seen it. It's the best center fielder in baseball. I've seen it, MVP candidate. I've seen it, surefire all-star. I've seen it, one of the five best players in baseball. I've seen it, extension candidate Pete Crow Armstrong, like whatever. There's a million different ways to talk about that kid, and we will. His 8 RBIs in the first two games of this series, of course, are probably the biggest individual thing to discuss. And his Friday game was epic. I mean, and even yesterday, that just like nice, clean, simple swing to drive in the first two runs under control, knowing the situation with two ducks out there on the pond instead of swinging for the fences. Let's go. That's the kind of thing that gets your baseball juices flowing, doesn't it? A guy that talented, knowing what the moment calls for and just delivering it right away. First pitch of the at-bat, I think, an ambush, I believe. Just knowing what he needs to do. But anyway, and wait, Seiya Suzuki has more than 10 home runs. So the Cubs have 4 players in double digits. There are 26 players in double-digit home runs in all of Major League Baseball. Cubs have the most. 4 of them. No other team has more than two players in double digits with home runs. And then I saw this yesterday. Kyle Tucker's still perfect on stolen bases. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, wait a minute. Does he have the most stolen bases for anybody who's perfect? Yes, he does. He's got 12 steals. Nobody else in the league is perfect with more than that. There are two others at 10 who are 10 for 10. Matt McClain of the Reds. Geraldo Perdomo having a terrific year for Arizona. Those two guys are 10 for 10. And then I'm like, well, how many guys have 10? 18. How many do the Cubs have in double digits? Three. With Pete Crow Armstrong and Nico Horner and Kyle Tucker. No other team is more than two. So the Cubs have the most guys with double-digit homers, and they have the most guys with double-digit steals. That's today's emblematic stat of how this offense gets it done in a lot of different ways. And if you want, you could look at the team stats and see where they are. I think they're third in home runs right now. And they are, yes, third in home runs with 65. In terms of OPS, they're fourth overall. They are second in steals. This is a very good, diversified offense. And we know that by now. And it's exciting. What also has been good is some of the starting pitching, especially in the wake of no Imanaga and no Steele. And Matthew Boyd is right there at the top of that list. That dude. I mean, first of all, Matthew Boyd as a dude, had a chance to talk to him in the clubhouse, have had a chance to talk to him on the air. That guy is grateful and serene and extremely present and quite a calming sensibility that he brings to the conversation when you're in it with him. And his teammates said the same yesterday after the game. Helping young guys. He taught Ben Brown how to chart pitches. Because they don't do it anymore as an org. But because most teams don't do it anymore. More on this tomorrow on Spiegel and Holmes. Because I know Lawrence wants to talk about it. So I'll tease that. But Matthew Boyd as a dude is and a teammate is awesome. And then as a pitcher, how about three straight starts with no walks for Matthew Boyd? He struck out eight yesterday. In his last three starts, he's got 23 Ks and zero walks. So that made me think, where is he in walk-to-strikeout ratio, strikeout-to-walk ratio among all the starting pitchers in baseball? He's 18th. 18th in all of baseball in K-to-walk ratio. At the top, just for your edification, Tarik Skubal, number one by a lot. Joe Ryan of the Mets, having a hell of a year, is right there at the top, along with guys like Nate Eovaldi and Zach Wheeler. Just ahead of Matthew Boyd, his teammate Jameson Taillon. So Taillon doesn't walk people. Gets some strikeouts, too. You know, but watching Boyd, I keep thinking about what Eno Saris of The Athletic said to us a few weeks back. He said that Boyd is one of those slowest guys. And I thought about that because, yeah, there's the changeup and there's the curve, the big looping curve. And he kind of lulls you into thinking the slow stuff is coming. But then that fastball, it's plenty fast enough as a change of pace in itself, right? So you sit there on slow or slower or looking for slowest, and then he gives you 94. And he's just so pinpoint. There was a moment yesterday during the game when Jim DeShays was reading the scouting report on Andrew Vaughn. He's like, Andrew Vaughn, he doesn't walk a lot. He's aggressive. Sometimes you can get him with stuff just off the edge, get him being a little over-aggressive. Next pitch, fastball off the edge. Vaughn swings and miss. Did the same thing to Luis Robert. Granted, a lot of people do that to Luis Robert. But, you know, fastballs and other stuff just off the edge, getting guys to reach for it. Very, very smart pitcher, Matthew Boyd. Here's Craig Counsell after the game on the consistency of that man.
I think he's made it feel like that. That speaks to his production because it's not that easy. I mean, I think I saw a stat on the scoreboard of like 18 or 19 starts without giving up more than three earned runs. Like that's consistency and good, right? That's just not easy to do. That's just having a, you know, never having a bad outing, giving your team a chance to win every for 18 straight starts when you take the ball. So it's a valuable thing. And most of all, you're given your chance to win every single time you go out there.
It's Craig Counsell on Matthew Boyd. The stat he's referring to, it is now 19 straight starts with no more than 3 earned runs allowed. That dates back to 2023. Because remember, there were injuries mixed in there. But 19 straight times, Matthew Boyd goes out there for whatever team he's playing for and doesn't allow more than 3 earned runs. I mean, that's a hell of a signing, folks. And then Colin Ray goes today, which also looks like a hell of a signing. So we'll see how that goes. All right, I mentioned I wanted to talk to you before we take a break and talk to Steve Stone about Miguel Vargas. I want to set this up so we get a chance to talk to Steve Stone about it. Miguel Vargas was the emblematic dude in that trade last year where they gave up everything pretty much and they got back very little. They gave up Kopech and Fetty, and I think there was more in there that they gave up. You know, really the one prospect they got back was Vargas, who had been failing as a Dodger in the big leagues. And since being a White Sox player, he has been failing there as well. He came into this spring 20 pounds heavier, and he also made some adjustments. He had the hands lower and out in front of his body, trying to shorten the swing path, right? But as the season reached late April, the numbers were terrible. He was hitting 139, 236 on base, a 203 slugging. And the White Sox organization got together under the tutelage of the director of hitting, Ryan Fuller, and they moved his hands up. He's got the bat lying flatter above his shoulder. You can see it pretty well visually. And the hands are higher up. And this was all about the fact that fastballs in the top two-thirds of the strike zone were just dominating him. James Fegan wrote about it on Sox Machine a week or so ago. Drilling down further to the issues of fastballs towards the top of the zone, Vargas was hitting 200 with a 240 slugging percentage on high fastballs. He also had straight up whiffed on them at a 24% clip. That includes, you know, thigh-to-belt high fastballs that you're supposed to demolish. So they moved his hands up, and he moved his hands up. And how's it been going in the last 21 games? Absolutely on fire. So 5 homers, 14 ribs, hitting .338, an on base of .402, slugging almost .600. He's got an OPS of 1.000. He's absolutely on fire directly since those mechanical adjustments. Okay? So that's a really good sign, obviously, for him, because you're hoping there's more there, and maybe there is more there. I mean, dude was a big-time prospect, and now heavier with some power, and he's barreling the ball like crazy, hitting the ball super hard. And what I think is noteworthy is that Kyle Fuller, the director of hitting, had said in the spring that the team would be leaning on their biomechanist, Aaron Trunt, to provide insight to the coaching staff on what kinds of mechanical changes different hitters would need to employ. And Fuller says that this adjustment and the success is a credit to Aaron, our biomechanist, to Marcus Thames, the hitting coach, to Joel McKeithen, the assistant hitting coach, working together, putting a plan in place. And they've made an adjustment, a very specific adjustment, and Vargas said, okay, I need to work at this, I'll make the adjustment. That's awesome. That shows some internal and institutional improvement, which is what you need to hang your hat on as your team loses game after game after game. There have been some good hires, and they are having some effect. We'll talk about that, among other things, with Steve Stone. The Cubs and the Sox. This weekend, we talk about all of it. Phone lines open for you after Stoney at 312-644-6767. Just getting rolling. It's Hit and Run here on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
As Chase Mydroff makes his way into the batter's box to get this one going. This one is hit well into the air, in the left field. Back goes Suzuki at the wall. It is out of here. Chase Mydroff gets it started with a bang. His first big league home run. It is 1-0. Sox on top.
Well, this one tells you a couple things about this ballpark. One is, even if the wind's blowing to the other corner, it still flies. Chase felt that he got a whole lot of that. Suzuki thought he was going to make the catch, and the ball keeps drifting and leaves the yard. So one hitter, one run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Excited to welcome in Steve Stone, who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Stoney, good morning. How are you?
Well, I was a lot better after the first hitter yesterday. All things looked bright and pretty much like the game before where the Sox scored a pair in that first inning. Things started to dissolve afterward.
Yeah, you know, if you get caught up in the competition right now between these two teams, it can it could feel like that. But like, I see some nice things. I like Mydroff and Miguel Vargas's improvement, and the fact that it's been based on adjustments that were made with institutional thoughts and like organized, you know, intent, I think is a really nice sign for fans to look at. What do you see when you watch Miguel Vargas these days?
Well, I think you see a guy who was looking for some answers because he just wasn't getting to pitches that would have taken him out of the major leagues if he couldn't adjust to them. Last year, we saw a lot of people throw high fastballs by him. And then it got down to the fastball being even a little lower, and they were still throwing it by him. So if you can't hit a fastball in the major leagues, most likely you're not going to hang around for a long time. They identified that because it is a league of adjustment, and they made the adjustment, and it was up to Miguel and all of the guys in the hitting labs with the White Sox to be able to do something. And Marcus Thames, he's one of those guys that said, why don't you try this? He doesn't say, hey, you got to do this now, and this is going to work. I think he gives options to his hitters. He says, you know, if this isn't working, let's try this. If that doesn't work, well, we'll try this. And in this case, it stuck. And Miguel, since the change, since the lowering of the bat and the hands going up, all of a sudden he's able to get to those high fastballs. And that shows that he's willing to do anything he can to thrive. And it shows that the Sox are doing a lot of analytical changes with these guys, and hopefully it works and continues to work. I mean, this has not been like a two-game flash in the pan. This has been about 3.5 weeks already, and Miguel still looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's about 3.5 weeks, and it's a result of some very fundamental and tangible things. So it feels like something to take note of for sure. What's it like for you being back there? I know you've gone back so many times, but at this point, what's the feeling like for you?
Well, the feeling is like it's impossible to get out of there after the game. outside of that, you know, look, for people who would like to get out fairly quickly, it's not a great thing. But look, they're drawing, you know, 40,000 a game. The fans are very excited about their team. The Cubs are in first place, although to this point they can't shake the Cardinals, which is somewhat amazing. The Cardinals have won 9 of their last 10. But it's going to be a pretty good race in the Central. The Cubs have a great shot at it. They've got some things that they have to address at the trade deadline or before that, and they look like the mainstays of that team are good enough to win the division. Pete Crow Armstrong has grown into just a wonderful player, and I think that they got a keeper. You never really know how it's going to work out, but it looks now like his physical gifts are almost made for this game. He's very fast. He seems to be a very much of a heads-up base runner. We know the defense is there. And now he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, which is something that a lot of people might have thought could happen, but he's made it happen early in this season.
Yeah, he's the full package. That catch he made yesterday, not being afraid of the ivy and the brick wall out there, turned around is... It was quite something. But how about the single with the two men on the first pitch, just trying to take something off? He's fun to watch at the plate. I don't know how he gets so much power in that small frame. He seems to have all the weight back and then kind of it moves up. What do you see in terms of his ability to get power? It's quite something.
Well, I mean, you can adjust your stance. You can adjust your weight distribution. But there's no substitute for fast hands, and he has very fast hands. He's able to get the head of the bat into the hitting zone very quickly, and so you're not going to fool him on a whole lot of pitches. But one of the things is I don't think you can allow him to hit the first pitch, because if he hits the first pitch, I think he's one of the better hitters around. He was one of the few guys where I wouldn't suggest throwing strike one. I would suggest maybe moving off the plate a little bit. You want to throw it inside an inch or so, let him pull it foul. But the first pitch, he's very dangerous. And right now, because he's become a much better and much different hitter than he was most of last season, I think the league is going to have to make an adjustment and try to look at the soft spots. And believe me, the teams that are in competition with him in the division, St. Louis to a certain extent, the Reds, the Brewers think they're better than they've been. But those teams are looking for all the soft spots. There's a lot of guys that... that are sent out to figure out just exactly what to do with him. And many of those guys are from teams that look to play them into the playoffs. I think the Cubs will get there one way or the other. And then they're going to have to deal. And the biggest problem for me, and I said it yesterday on the broadcast, the biggest problem for me is they arguably have the 5 best teams in baseball sitting in their league. And so they're probably going to have to get by 2 of them. It's not like the American League where, you know, there's some teams getting into the playoffs that you can deal with. But the Cubs are going to have to deal with the likes of almost the entire National League West. You're talking about the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants playing really well. The Diamondbacks believe they're better than they are. And then you look at the East, and the Mets are playing good, solid baseball, as the Cubs saw when they went to play them in New York. And the Phillies have a pretty solid baseball team. And don't forget, Spencer Strider is coming back, as is Acuna, with the Braves, and they believe they have a shot at it. I mean, the National League is pretty much like when I played with the Giants. The National League was the best league in baseball by a wide margin, and I think they're getting there now.
God, when you played with the Giants, yeah, because somebody's going to win 90 games and not make the playoffs here. Somebody might win 94 games and not make the playoffs.
Having been with a team that won 100 games and didn't make the playoffs, I know exactly how that feels.
That's where I was going. What year was that? You guys won 100 and didn't make it. That's insane.
That was 1980. That was my best year, and the team played great. But the Yankees had this guy that the White Sox were kind enough to bring to the major leagues. went on to a couple different teams and found his way to the Yankees. His name was Goose Gossage. He decided that in September he wasn't going to give up a run, and the Yankees won 103. There was no wild card at the time, and so we went home and the Yankees went on. But the wild card has opened it up, and there was a lot of people who said, oh, it's going to ruin baseball. It's terrible. I'm a purist. This is awful. Well, it's not awful because it gives teams hope that they can go into the playoffs, and there's been a number of wild cards that actually won the World Series.
You know, that year, I was just thinking about it because I remember Dick Houser got fired, right? They won 103 games. They won 103 games in the season, and Dick Houser got fired.
Well, sometimes there's a high standard in New York, so who knows?
You know, Brandon Hyde just got fired a couple days ago in Baltimore, and what that team has done institutionally, not spending when, like, they've just gotten there. The whole core is there, and you got to spend and try to finish, and now they fire the manager. It just doesn't feel fair, but that's baseball, well, I suppose.
I think, unfortunately, Speaks, you know or should know when you're hired as a manager, you're being hired to be fired because you're just kind of renting that seat for a while, and eventually they're going to come and get it and put somebody else in it. And it's usually not the manager's fault. I say usually because occasionally it is. Occasionally some managers are overmatched. But it's funny because Hyde last year appeared to be a pretty good manager. I think Baltimore was pretty happy with him, actually.
Yep.
And this year he's just deteriorated. Somehow over the winter he became a moron. And the same thing is true with Bud Black. He took him to the playoffs a couple of times. He spent 9 years there. And all of a sudden, whoa, lo and behold, we don't spend any money. We have no talent. And so we'll fire the manager because he's a moron. But remember, almost without exception, the manager gets fired first and followed somewhere down the road by the general manager, and the owner continues to be the owner.
Oh, yeah, they don't seem to get fired. And in their defense, I, too, become a moron every once in a while. It just kind of happens, you know?
I would say that happens to all of us, especially when we make a prediction and it looks ridiculous when it doesn't come close to true. It's like, you know, a lot of people felt that Yoan Moncada was going to be a star.
Oh.
And as we know, he's got great athletic ability, but he can't stay off the injured list, and he's on there again.
Friday, Steve Stone, we got a chance to see Shane Smith versus Cade Horton on Friday afternoon. Shane Smith gave up the 3-run homer to PCA, but it was at the end of a very long inning that got extended by some shaky defense. What were your thoughts on both of those pitchers from watching the matchup?
Well, I've seen a lot more of Shane Smith, obviously, and I really like what I see. You know, only one of those runs was earned in that inning. And so he still threw pretty well on a ridiculously tough day to pitch. Yesterday, the wind was blowing toward right field, but on the three games that the wind has blown out at Wrigley Field, the Cubs have scored 37 runs in three games. They have a wonderfully put-together offense because they can beat you in a number of different ways. They can hit the ball out of the ballpark, we know that. And they can also run you out of the ballpark, as we saw yesterday. So the Sox are going to have to figure out how to shut down everybody's running game. And I don't believe that one of the ways to do it is to not look at the runner at first base. Because these guys were off to the races. I'm not sure the evolution of that, but, I mean, I go back long enough when you actually looked at the base runner. Now, apparently, they're not going to look at him, and we saw yesterday the result of that.
I didn't notice the not looking. Yeah, that would seem to be counterintuitive.
You watched the game and you saw how many running leads the Cubs got.
Yeah.
And one of the times they started a running lead, and because they weren't looking at the base runner, he was able to get back to the bag where they could have picked him off and saved a run. So, you know, it's one of those things that I know it's a new world way of trying to hold on base runners, but doesn't seem to work all that well.
A philosophical question for you about playing the infield in, which Will Venable did in both the first and third innings on Friday. It caused a lot of conversation up on the booth level or on the press level. Bruce Levine said to us, you know, this team is averaging just a little over 3 runs per game. So even on a Friday or even on a wind blowing out day, what did you think of that as a strategy? It was interesting.
Well, I think Bruce hit it right on the head. You have to manage to the ability or lack thereof of your ball club's offense. If you believe that you're going to score 8 or 9 runs, you concede the run, play the infield back, and you know, try to stay out of the big inning. But if your team isn't scoring, and as we know, the Sox are not scoring, you have to do something different. And right now we're sitting there with the Sox scoring 155 runs this year. And obviously, as we know, that's usually not going to feed the Bulldog, especially when you have a Cub team scored 264 runs. So there's a lot of teams with a lot more thunder than the Sox have. And I think Will is managing to the abilities of his ball club or the way it is right now. And you can't afford to give up runs, because if you're only going to score three a game, and I think the Sox are averaging a little, just a touch over that. But if you don't have any thunder in your lineup, you can't give away runs. And I know what Will was thinking. And for a very young manager, and he is that, I think he's got an innate feel for this game that's going to really serve him well as he moves forward. I don't think he makes too many mistakes. And, you know, a first-year manager is going to make mistakes like a first-year player normally. But there are some exceptions to it, and I think Will happens to be one of those. He's got a good baseball mind. He was raised in this game because his father was a Major League Baseball player. He was always around the game, and I think that I think he was managing to the abilities of his team, and I think Bruce was right.
See, that's interesting. A good innate feel. I would agree it feels like that, but, I mean, you see everything. You're up there seeing all the games. Any other items that come to mind when you think about his feel for the game so far this year?
Well, look, I you have to understand something, and I know you do. You've seen this game for a lot of years, but you can only manage the players that you have. And it doesn't mean that the situation in Baltimore, if you don't bring in a little more talent and then you get some of the key guys hurt, then Hyde is gone. Obviously, Will's not going to be gone for a while because I think they made the right pick. But you can't manage guys you don't have. And so when you look at the ball club and you realize this team doesn't have a whole lot of power. Now, it's akin to all those years when the Cubs didn't win anything, but they were pretty good at home because they were built with ponderous sluggers.
Mm-hmm.
And ponderous sluggers, when they go on the road, it's a problem because they get killed on the road because they don't have any speed. We're in a situation where our ballpark, like Cincinnati, for instance, our ballpark is a home run hitter's park. When it gets warm, our ballpark is a bandbox. If you have a team where you don't have any thunder on it, or at least you don't have much thunder on it, well, you're going to be at a disadvantage 81 times a year because you're playing in different parks on a three-game basis on the road, but you're playing 81 games at home. You have to be able to build your team around your home ballpark. And if that doesn't happen, you can't dominate at home. And because winning on the road usually is very difficult for major league teams, you have to take advantage of your home ballpark. And if you can't do that, well, that becomes problematic. And so down the road, Sox are going to have to address that. They certainly were hoping that Colson Montgomery was that guy. And since they sent him back to the complex in Arizona, he's looking a whole lot better, swinging the bat better, driving the ball for some extra base hits, and more the guy the Sox thought he was going to be when they drafted him number one.
Last thing for you, Steve Stone. When I watched Tim Elko hit that opposite field homer, what they said was 425 feet the other way. I'm like, all right, that's impressive. 3-1 count, and he's looking for something and finds something. The homer, the other one he hit is off Sandy Alcantara. I had a moment watching that home run, I'm like, oh, I guess you dream of him being Pete Alonso. I know that's a long way to go, but boy, that power the opposite way looked pretty easy yesterday. That was exciting.
Well, I think, number one, he's enormously strong. There's no doubt about that. If he does catch up to it, it's going to go, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing, and doesn't matter which park he's in. He has that kind of strength. What he's probably going to have to do is start or learn to hit some fastballs, because he's going to start seeing him more until he consistently squares them up. But right now, what he's done a couple times is he's hit mistakes. And there are a lot of hitters in this game that make a living with the ability occasionally to catch up to a good pitch, but more times than not, when they do get a mistake, they don't foul it back. They square it up. And if Tim is able to do that, he's got big power. And what he said, what was exciting to him was that he had some power the opposite way, because I think he's going to pull most all of his home runs, but he showed that it really doesn't matter which direction he hits it in. He's got enough power to take it out. So, yeah, that's exciting. And Mydrath hit his first, although if he becomes a power hitter, we probably have a problem. The occasional home run is good. You just don't want him to be that guy that hits a ton of fly balls.
He's what we thought Nick Madrigal was going to be. I'm cool with that. That works.
That's what I talked about as soon as he came up, because he runs pretty well. He fields, I believe, better than Nick. And we'll have to see. He's had a couple of nagging injuries early, and hope that's just one of those things. And then when he does get over that, he plays every day. And the difference is that Mydrath can actually play shortstop because he's got a fairly decent arm.
Steve Stone, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the rest of the series with the ball game today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Speaks. Have a good show.
You got it. Thanks. That's Steve Stone right there. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. We're going to throw the phone lines open at 312-644-6767. Lots to get to regarding Cubs and Sox today. Just getting rolling on Hit and Run on the Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Here's the 1-2 line drive, leaping catch by Nico Horner. Sensational grab by Nico. A solid line drive ticketed toward right field. Nico with a lunging, diving catch, caught it at about shoulder level, fully extended, and then hit the deck. Beautiful play by Nico Horner.
He's really a beautiful ball player, isn't he? I know he doesn't walk enough, and he still doesn't have a single home run, but like, if you were going to be somebody without power trying to make your way, you're not a slugger trying to make your way in the big leagues, you would want to be that guy in terms of, I mean, what he brings to the plate every time, trying to make contact, does not strike out, so solid defensively, so good on the bases, and just the vibe, man. Like, the vibe of the week was him coming around and scoring the winning run on the Justin Turner game winner and screaming towards the dugout as he approached third base, just like feeling it, because he was already watching the Turner double go into the corner. He knew he was scoring the winning run. So he watched the ball, and then he's like, here we go, and he's able to look right into the dugout and deliver. That was so cool. And then the head first slide for no reason. Anyway, Nico is that dude. He was asked if the White Sox and the Cubs still feels like a rivalry.
This is a Chicago series. Does it still feel that way, even though they're, you know, searching for their identity on the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we definitely feel the energy from the fans and just the excitement about Chicago baseball. And, you know, we're fortunate to always have a great environment here at Wrigley, but definitely when we go there and play, it always feels like a big deal. And we've had a lot of close games with them in the last couple of years and crazy games. So, yeah, definitely enjoy these games.
So Nico enjoys it. Do you enjoy it? Here's my questions for you guys, okay? We're going to throw open the phone lines. We're going to talk to you. It's Cubs Sox weekend. What is the proper way to act as a Cubs fan when you know your team is so much better and you're beating the bejesus out of them a couple straight days? What's the proper way to act? I was watching people walking around Wrigleyville. I didn't see a lot of taunting, but are you entitled to taunt? And then what's the proper way to react to that as a White Sox fan? Because I saw that last night at the G-Man as like Cub fans were going crazy and anytime it was brought up and Sox fans just sitting there stoic. It's got to be so difficult, so annoying, so overly taxing to just, you know, all you got to do, you just got to take it, right? Is that the right thing to do? Or do you fire back? You say something funny? Do you laugh? What do you do? It's 312-644-6767. Anything you want regarding these teams. But I want to know, what's the right way to act as a Cub fan and the proper way to react as a Sox fan? 312-644-6767. Let's talk. Spiegs with you, Hit and Run on the Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.